Why don't we just make this a chill zone?
Just an ASMR stream. Let's go.
Hey, all you cool cats and crazy people out there, and welcome to Need for Speed Running. This is your favorite podcast about video games and going fast and hanging out and being in person.
Yeah,
we're recording this for the first time in the same space.
It's very exciting.
Yes.
Some of us are meeting for the first time this event.
Yeah, true. Yeah. I've been talking with you guys so much the past few days. This is our first chance to sit down and catch up. But yes, like I said, I'm Loaf of White Brad. And who else is here in person?
I'm Luigi's apartment, and I have been hanging out at GDQ, which is why I'm here at the table.
No way, same. Yeah. I'm Ruby Hart, and I have been hanging out and speedrunning and commentating and paneling and interviewing and hosting. It's a lot.
Somehow
it's
you're still awake.
I don't know how, and honestly, I feel like a zombie at this point, and I have a host shift in a bit, so like...
a big host shift.
Yes, but also things might be shifting, so I still don't actually know what the fuck is happening. So very excited though.
Yeah,
you should be. Yeah,
yeah.
And I'm Jay Hobbs, and I've been here doing interviews and managing the interview team, basically being Ruby's boss
for this week,
and having a good time. And today has mostly been spent at a brewery, so that's been pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah. Good times. One thing I wanted to mention is that I was surprised at how much things change. If you have attended a Games Done Quick, you might notice like sometimes the games are at different times or things move around. And I didn't realize, you know, even though I've been to Games Done Quick before, how much work is done on the fly and audibles and different things have to happen because, you know, this is running late or this is happening here. It's you guys are working pretty hard.
Yeah, it's it's a lot. The games committee in particular, the ones that I have to deal with, it's like this year we've obviously had a lot of schedule drift, which means the schedule shifts either later or earlier, depending on how our setups are going. This year is later.
Yeah.
And from pretty early in the week, too.
Yeah, the first 2 days were pretty rough. We lost the most time that I feel like we've ever lost within those days. And we actually clawed it all back. We've since lost a bit again, but it's setup times are always an estimation, and they're kind of there to kind of cover. We hope that a lot of them are, rather than a 12-minute setup or whatever that it says on the schedule, we hope it's more of an eight-minute one. So that way when we have a 30-minute setup because something goes nightmarishly wrong,
eat all of it.
We don't eat all the time. But we just had a lot of problems in the first couple days. And sometimes when you have that much schedule drift, the like you run into runners have to go to the airport or something, you know, or like or they're not going to be here. And the committee are the ones who have to deal with that fact, like deal with the schedule changing.
There's a number of games, too, that are kind of on standby or, you know, on the bench ready to go in if something needs to not happen. You're like, all right, we got this run now instead.
Yeah, full like backup runs. Runners are expected to still be just as warmed up and like ready to go on their backup runs that the main, you know, main runs are the way the main runners are. And it's pretty like I would say it's pretty common that we have to pull in at least one backup run. I don't think we actually did pull any into this marathon, but it sometimes somebody has their flight gets delayed or something, you know, like or it gets
canceled. The world happens.
Yeah, yeah. You got to have redundancy.
You try and stay inside this hotel, but there are still things happening outside. I walked outside for the first time like 2 hours ago. I was like, it's really nice.
Yeah, it's like hot as fuck here right now. It's nice now that the sun's gone down. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm. During the day, it's pretty warm.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, where I'm based, it's either been balls cold or way too hot. So being here where it's like a pretty moderate temperature the whole week has been so nice.
Yeah. Last couple days have been real, real warm. But other than that,
Well, and I got fondue with my partner earlier. So like I can't complain, you know?
Yeah. Having fondue like a block away is pretty cool. Multiple like
that.
There's like a rooftop pub we went to.
Oh, the
Brits.
The Brits pub. If you're ever in Minneapolis, Brits pub, go to the rooftop. It's the best spot to have a beer, like almost ever. Like, it's just so great.
Especially if you're a soccer person. They have all the games up there and that huge lawn.
Or yoga.
Yeah. Just don't cartwheel on the lawn if it's really late.
Yeah.
What was the game they were playing?
Ball.
Yeah, bocce ball. Yeah.
They do a lot of lawn bowling up there too.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah,
but it's just a good spot.
I assumed that it was going to be like croquet and then people were bocce balling on it.
Listen, if they were playing croquet, I would have immediately dove in on that shit.
Yeah.
Like, I used to play that all the time as a kid. I love it.
I would have had to bring my like tie and like my fancy pants and stuff. And just like better posture the whole time. I'm just like looking
like jockey pants, nice and tight.
Yes, croquet.
So there is a new hero, for me that is all over Games and Quick, and their name is Ruby Hart.
Yes.
Oh.
Not only like one of the
Ruby with the spit.
I'm saying not only one of the stars of the pre-show, and seeing you doing all of the interviews have been great, but a world record speedrunner.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Meme creator.
I did not expect it to catch on as wildfire quickly as it did, but it's been an incredible honor to be involved with the interview team. So many of us put so much hard work into making that script, into making things happen, not just on camera, but also behind the scenes. Like, we've got to get shout outs to those producers. But my team, when it comes to the Overcooked run, Sunbro Jade and P-Seg and I put a lot of work into practicing and decided after we watched the menu to make the speech based on that, you know, opening monologue, introducing all of the courses. So I'm really glad that people seem to really enjoy that. And from there, the chat just took it and ran with it. And then 8F's run, you know, the other breakfast block run.
Yeah,
fully reinforced and solidified it. Although apparently there was like a ridiculous amount of debate in the chat about which one of us founded the meme. We were like, guys, it's okay. We all helped the meme.
Games
so they
Done
made
Quick
a command.
It's everyone's meme.
They literally made a command called !chef for whenever someone asked a question or the debate was about to start because they got so sick and tired of seeing it in chat. So like, it's hilarious.
That's incredible. I was happy to just get to roll onto your couch and just like show up. Very little prep work.
No, you just crush the commentary. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Knowing when to interject when there is a busy kitchen, because as someone who has worked around kitchens and been through kitchens, if there are cooks working, you say what you need to and get out of the way. And you did a great job of like, all right, I can say this. And then they're like, all right, burgers. And then like, I need lettuce. And then right back in.
Yeah.
I don't know. The pacing was fast and balanced, which was really nice.
And yeah, I knew that there was like, so first of all, Overcooked is not like the most complex game when you're just talking about its core mechanics, right? Like it's not the most complex game to get the points across. So I knew between eight levels.
Yeah. So there are eight horde levels. So we were specifically running Overcooked 2, Night of the Hangry Horde, all horde levels. And yeah, it has like one glitch and everything else is just insane communication.
Right. Yeah. So I was like, I knew that my job was to just get the basics across when I could. And a part of what I've always found fun of watching co-op speedruns is getting to hear that communication. Like if you need another good example, is the Diablo 3 run from a couple years back. It was an online run.
That sounds like it'd be cool.
It was really fun just watching them communicate about like, okay, one of you hold back here for us to like warp to you in case this is the wrong way or something. And stuff like that, where they're trying to commentate, but they're also having to communicate the whole time. And so I knew that like if there were times where it was just a very quick call out, I could probably just keep plowing through talking about commentary. Otherwise, if it was going to be a little bit of back and forth, I'm like, I want to get out of the way and let people hear that fun communication, the stuff that you don't always get to like see.
The shorthand and just being on the same page, you can see the prep immediately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you can see the prep and that your aprons all match your characters.
Yeah, that was so helpful. That was legitimately helpful for me as a commentator, too. I was like, who is green again? Oh, right, it's not Jade, the person who has green in their name.
Yeah, I will say that was entirely founded by, at first, I'm a theater kid. I love just going over the top for things. So at first, when we got in, I was like, as a celebration, I'm going to get us all Overcooked aprons. So pick your apron from Redbubble and I'll get it for us. And then after I saw the menu, I was like, okay, but consider, since I'm head chef. So if you watch the speed run, I'm the one who's like calling out all the orders and usually doing the assembly
and doing the plating
and
serving.
Because there can only be one that's doing all of that. If everyone else, it's an important role.
If you want to win an escape room, like if you want to go to an escape room, make sure you get out there. You have a project manager. Like you have somebody who's managing everything. You have to have that kind of thing. Because if you have everyone trying to do that, it's going to be a chaotic mess.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And people won't be on the same page. So I said, consider, what if I got just the chef's blouse? And then Trace and Jade immediately got in on it and said, nah, if you're doing it, we all have to do it. So when I found on Amazon the chef's shirt, and it's the same one, but in all the different colors, we were like, oh no, this is, it's too perfect to.
Lines up too well.
Gotta do it.
I will say that most of the time in practice, when we first were speedrunning Overcooked, I would usually be player one, which is blue. But once we decided to go colors, we realized that for people who know me, it would be very, very confusing
if you weren't red.
Yeah, for Ruby to not be red.
Yeah. And so, I think that Jade should have was also equally confusing by not being green. But you know, whatever.
And we never thought about it until you said it.
You all didn't even notice it until I said it in commentary practice. It was super funny.
Oh, yeah. We were like, oh, yeah. That does make sense. Shit.
I was like, do I just not know what Jade means or something the whole time?
Nope. So I wanted to ask you, Luigi, it's your first Games Done Quick in person.
Yeah.
Expectations versus realities. Like, how's it going? I know how it's going because I've been sleeping in a double bed with you.
Oh, yes. That's right. Hello, friend. I didn't realize I would spend as much time in the arcade as I did.
Yeah.
So that's been the most fun. But, you know, hanging out, watching the runs and stuff is cool. It's been cool just being here and getting to hang out with people and talk to people. And
well, if there had been all the, you'd spend even more time in the arcade if we had as many pinball machines as in the past.
Dude, well, we only need one pinball machine because we have gone down probably 10 different times just to play the Halloween
is machine. The best.
Ball's so fun. Yeah. It's so good.
The Halloween machine is kind of broken a bit, but it's
not too bad, but a little bit though.
Yeah. Enough to like kind of really ruin a game sometimes, but.
They try to fix them on the fly too, but it's hard sometimes, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a lot of times it's like this person's personal machine that they're just like, yeah, this company can bring it for us, like, and let them use it for the week. Sure.
Right.
Because I don't think a lot of people realize all the stuff outside of the runs that are happening here. That arcade has 20 rhythm games. I don't speak Japanese, but I have figured out how to get to tutorials and get into the game.
Yeah.
And yeah, so, like some of them really make sense and just click, because if you play one rhythm game, you kind of know what's going on.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Theater rhythm, though, the fact that the yes button is a red button.
Yes.
I was in that menu for a little
That's
while.
A real weird like Japanese thing. Circle means confirm a lot of the time. Like instead of like a check mark, it's a circle and it's usually red. And whereas like X is still, you know, obviously the you failed, but it's sometimes blue and stuff. It's very weird.
Yeah. But yeah. And then that game had all the menu on the touchscreen and all the game on the buttons. And it took a while to figure that out.
And the Taiko Drum Master, we've been playing a bunch too. And, you know, you go into the board game room and you hang out there for a bit. They have all these great practice rooms. And there's just everyone's so happy to talk to. You get in an elevator and you can't help but like, hey, how's it going? What's runs you been seeing?
Did you all get the chance to play, this for everybody, Ruby included, to do the speedrun gauntlet at all, the gauntlet challenges?
No.
Probably in the practice room. I think they've been taken down now. I'm sad you didn't get the chance because we've had them at PAX the last few times, and I feel like they're some of the just most intro to speedrunning, like friendly kind of things, and they're so fun because it's just like, hey, here's Donkey Kong Country 1. Here's the first level. Just try to get to the end as quickly as you can.
Yeah.
And if you want, you press this button and it resets like the timer and the game back to the start of the level. And it will keep track of your best within your like 10-minute session or whatever. And it'll even give you like a par time. Like if you can get past this time, then you're doing pretty good.
So, yeah, I didn't even know that was so in there.
Yeah, I've played them at PAX because I ran Shadow last year and then ended up spending like 20 or 30 minutes just at the computers. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
And they have, so I think that last year I played DK and then I did the Super Mario World one as well.
Yeah, I'm really glad we got to bring them this year. I didn't get a chance to go over myself and set some times or anything. I know I talked to Spike about it before he left and he was like, yeah, I went and set the record for the DK time on the one machine I was on.
Like,
was
Donkey Kong speedrunner goes in. Yeah, he's going to set the record.
I was like, good. You should. But like, I should go beat you.
Yeah.
We did an experiment with one run. Me and Luigi, we were watching the two persons, one controller, Mega Man 6. And we're sitting there like, I wonder what that's like. And we had a Switch in our lap. So we played some of Mario Brothers 1 two two players, one controller, mm-hmm. and it wasn't the fastest, but we got halfway through the game.
Nice.
Yeah, we got to 4-2.
That's real impressive. It's fun how, like, even in a limited kind of session, you start to probably pick up on each other, like, expecting what the other person's going to do, right?
Well, because you play, you know, Mario Brothers 1, one of the foundations of gaming.
Yeah.
I know where all of my things are that I hit, and there are spots where you're like, no, go back, this one. And
cause I was expecting you to go for certain things.
Like going up for something.
But those are things that, like, I didn't know were there, you think you know a game jumping. Like, perfect. But yeah, you it's amazing how quickly you sync up.
This is what I would do if I were running fast right here.
You'd be amazed at how much faster it would go if you got a chance to do the second one, like to do it another time.
Yeah.
It's like, now we know. Like, now we have a game plan of the things we're going to do, and that's speedrunning, right? That's what speedrunning is. You just keep doing it over and over.
Yeah. Seen a lot of great runs. Is there any ones that are particular favorites that you've had a chance to see?
I got to shout out Super Hot.
I did the interview, but
it was unbelievable.
I did the interview, but I didn't get a chance to see the run.
Oh, yeah, man.
I love David.
John Wick Chapter 5 is what I would call it.
No, literally, so many people in chat were calling David John Wick. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, if you've seen the regular Super Hot VR is different in a few ways. So the stages work differently, in that you're not actually moving the character. When you transition to the next area, you grab these pyramids. And usually what happens is, like, you can't take any weapons through, but one of the big glitches they found is that if you very quickly grab the pyramid and, like, just a split second later, re-grab the weapon, you can take it through the transition.
Nice.
Yeah, okay. So a lot of levels that are supposed to be really difficult because you're waiting for the enemies to get to you to then get a weapon and otherwise dodging, you just come in with a freaking semi-automatic and can just plow
them
down.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Every level that has an Uzi, just bring the Uzi.
I know that David talked about, like, you just have to constantly swing your arm to get time to move, because you ignore the time stop mechanic because, you know, it's slow.
Yeah. So whenever he's not shooting, you'll just see him flailing his arms all over the place. And he was only 30 seconds off his PB. So it was like a sub 9-minute run. Some levels that go so quickly that you, like, can't even see the level happen. So there's one in particular that I love where as it goes later in the game, sometimes weapons will just kind of spawn in front of you. And there's one level
like two knives.
Two knives, and then there are two enemies to the side, and it goes so quickly because he knows exactly where they are. So he'll quickly grab them, throw them, and immediately grab the pyramid. And it's basically just a quick flash of light. You can't actually see anything that's happening.
So cool.
Yeah. So I would definitely shout that one out. It's a masterclass.
I'm just glad we finally got a VR run on stage.
Yeah,
because we were supposed to have two last year, and unfortunately, we couldn't have either of them happen. And I'm so glad we got to finally have that happen,
because they're always really cool. But, like, having them, up right there, because we were down there for that, and it was really awesome.
It's another level when you get to see the person doing the VR and then also the screen. They were doing a lot of movement. And because it's like they were also, like, doing a lot of moving with their hands extra, because you need to keep, like,
gotta keep time moving.
And
it looks
tiring.
He said, we were going to do a bit at the beginning of the interview where I was like, hey, should we do a thing where, like, we can only talk when we're moving our hands? And it's like, I'm going to be so tired, like, exhausted from my run. I'm like, actually nervous about doing that here. So we didn't end up doing it. I was like, that's very fair.
Yeah, in practices, I'm not even kidding. It's a 10-minute run for him, and this one was sub 9. And every time he'll be, like, drenched in sweat after, and he usually, like, what he was telling us is, I can do two of these a day, and I got a tap. Like, it's that exhausting.
That was what the Ring Fit Adventure person said, was like, I can get maybe two in a day.
Real quick, we're recording this on the last day of GDQ, and I think Elden Ring just crashed.
Elden Ring.
This is the second crash has had.
It
froze one time before too.
Well,
the run was still going. Run was still going really good, but
Mitch Riz is incredible, so I'm sure it is.
Well, it crashed the first time because they were trying to reload as they were dying, and it's a frame perfect
crash, like they did the wrong time.
Yeah,
I could see that happening. But In terms of other runs, I've gotten to see, for the longest time in this week, I got to see exactly one run, and it was the Overcooked 2 run that I commentated. You're just so busy that you don't get to see
right.
nearly as much.
You had to commentate Crash as well, right?
But I did commentate Crash, so I've seen that one. And I actually got to see Lunistus, I think, yesterday.
Lunistus
was really fun. Mm. That was great. It was I'm blanking on the runner's name, and I apologize to them. But it's a, like, PS1 style like game, but it's actually from like this year okay. or something, or from last year. It's like a really new game, and the platforming in it is just super great. It's got a lot of good momentum preservation in it, which I always love in speedruns. And Jaxler was commentating for it, and the runner was just executing like incredibly well. Like, I thought they were gonna PB until like 80% of the way through the run, when finally like something went wrong.
Yeah. Yep. And really absurd. Quick interjection. I'm probably going to mispronounce it, but the runner is Nastani.
Oh yeah. Nastani. Yeah. 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 That run was super fun. I loved it. Jaxler did a great job matching the energy with the commentary as well. And so, that was one that I think people should like go back and watch for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Also shout outs to ADEF, and Dangers and Mellow for the hilarious Ratatouille run. That was just him doing a pretend audition for season 3 of The Bear.
Loved it.
Yeah. It was ridiculous.
Also, Dangers had a good Mario Odyssey run.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Odyssey run was good. I did get to catch a little bit of the Majora's Mask run, even if somebody doesn't really know Zelda. Like, mm-hmm. It's hard to have a bad time when Spike's up on stage. And
yeah.
All of his commentators did great, too, especially Fant. And it's like that was super fun.
It feels a little different in my mind, because I forget that back in Milwaukee, when this was going on, when y'all were here working very hard, I just get done with work and I'm like, I should catch some runs quick. So I watched Bobby do Bloodstained.
Oh yeah,
oh my God.
Bloodstained was good too. Good. I did catch some of that.
I caught a lot of the Castlevania block, and those were great. As far as my favorite one I've seen here, Kaizo Monkey Ball by Ike SMB. Mm-hmm. The more you know about Monkey Ball, the more that run scares you and you appreciate it, because just it's perfection and it's mastery. And I'm a big Monkey Ball person. So they've had like test runs of Monkey Ball before, and I like that. That's cool. But to see somebody do those crazy tricks live blows me away. I was very hyped at the Monkey Ball one.
Heck yes.
Also, in the arcade, it was my first time getting to hold the banana and play the arcade game, because I'm passionate about Monkey Ball. I used to enter my scores back in the GameCube online at like clo.net, whatever it was. So I used to be competitive for high scores.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, that's okay. Awesome.
Nice. Yep, me and my friends were. So
you should start doing ILs.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah, I lost my memory card with all of my best replays from back in the day, unfortunately. But yeah, to actually just another thing why the arcade and being in person is great, that banana controller, it's really good. Yeah. I expected it to be kind of wonky, but I was able to do a lot of my expert levels like first try, which I was expecting it to be a horrible stick, but I don't know.
Nice.
That's amazing.
Plus it's healthy, you know, potassium.
Yeah, of course.
Speaking of horrible sticks, we did some Sonic the Fighters.
We played some Sonic the Fighters. Mm-hmm. Being the Dynamite, turns out, is my homie.
Being the Dynamite.
There was a whole lot of gibberish you all just said. I don't know.
Well, when you're talking about Sonic the Hedgehog, it's going to be gibberish.
That's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We played quite a bit.
Yeah, I was Fang the,
looked like
the sniper.
The sniper. Looked like an Fang Australian wolf or something.
With a giant tail. I don't know, some kind of monitor lizard or something.
Mm-hmm. Complete side note, speaking of Sonic, I didn't get to catch the full run, but the pieces I saw of it were amazing. So the Sonic Adventures DX,
I heard it was
race,
really good.
Yeah, and they had matching shirts of the different colors with their characters on the front. It was adorable.
Love that. It's great.
Yeah, it was great. It. So there's one particular trick that when I saw it, it absolutely blew my mind, where basically in the Tails section, you can manipulate gravity by if you bounce Tails off of a diagonal surface, then it adjusts the gravity. So instead of it moving on Tails up and down, it moves left and right, and you can just zip through entire levels. It's
what the hell
wild.
Was that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We showcased that one on the daily recap. That was a good one.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
Tails helping you get to the end of the level every way they can, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even back in, you know, the original Genesis games, I just pick up a second controller and I just fly myself to the end.
Yep. And I heard that Amy's section was like insane as far as basically every single trick, first try proc. Nice. Yeah.
Luigi, how about you? Did you catch any real solid runs, either from home or while you've been here?
I mean, I know we talked about a lot of my big ones.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. We did say Odyssey, I know.
I'm blanking on other ones right now. Yeah, bruh. Bruh was a good one.
That was the Odyssey thing.
Bruh.
I definitely want to call out another world record. A friend of mine from Milwaukee, he's done a couple of games done quick. I don't think this is but that Final Fight 3 run, they got a world record.
Nice.
Yep, Jake Rock and Space Coast Gaming. And it's really great to see friends from Milwaukee come here, too. I don't know how many Milwaukee speedrunners there are, but... definitely want to grab a beer with him later. So nice. Big congrats to that.
I think the X-Men Arcade folks got either a PB or a world record as well.
It was a PB, I think.
PB. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really stupid.
A lot of really sick runs.
There were honestly moments in that game.
The fun thing is, like a lot of the time when we have like schedules get behind, we have like tech issues and stuff. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's that a runner had some real massive issue and they were going to come 20 minutes behind, like 20 minutes overestimate, and we have to like make a call.
Yeah.
Like, are we going to allow them to do that? Is that okay? And we will be like, it's borderline, but like, you know, maybe we'll let them do it rather than, you know, have to cut them off short. Mm-hmm. And this year they've just been fucking killing it. Like runners have just been destroying it. Like some of them have come way underestimate, but in general, most people have just at least been under their estimate. We've just been really having some unfortunately unlucky setup times, like slowing things down. But the runners have been coming in clutch. It's been really helpful. Because if we had that and runners were going slow, like that would have been pretty brutal.
I think I've only heard of one mercy kill, and it was like the very first day.
I didn't even know about that.
It was the Luigi's Mansion incentive, the two players, one controller.
Yes, that one was sad.
Technically, I guess Shockwave's Gunfire Reborn run got mercy killed, but Shock did two runs of his game on the hardest difficulty plus extra difficulty modifiers, did two runs, both of which failed and still came under estimate.
Dang.
He got like both of them basically right up to the final boss and just died because it's just that brutal. Mm-hmm. And the super hard difficulty, like you game over, you're done. You got to like start back from the beginning. And it was still an extremely entertaining run the whole way through. So it's definitely one I recommend like checking out.
That's awesome.
That was right before Crash Bandicoot.
When you say setup time sometimes take longer, does that just mean getting everything set up for the next game, the next console, the next runner?
Yeah.
Is that most of it?
So, sometimes it's a big technical complexity, right? Because we're capturing how many different consoles.
I was just thinking, how many different consoles is it?
Yeah, because you have maybe somebody's coming with a Dreamcast, somebody's coming with a PS1, somebody's coming with a PS2, there's a SNES, there's an NES.
How do you hook the toilet paper up to the Switch?
Exactly. You got to do HD consoles, standard consoles. Maybe somebody's bringing an arcade setup for something, a VR game, and then PC runs. And PC runs can be weird on like new PCs and stuff. So every now and then you run into an issue of like, we expected to press these three buttons and now we're good to go. And you suddenly aren't good to go.
It's a minor miracle it works at all.
It really is. Yeah, it's incredible. And we've had a lot of like new volunteers this time too, so it's like there's a big learning curve. There's a lot of training that is involved, and it's that's like, it's understandable that we've run into a few issues here and there.
Mm-hmm. Still crushing it. Still raised so far over 1.5 million.
Yeah, 1.5 at least.
Can I tell a really wholesome, adorable story about Games Done Quick?
No, please. I hate wholesome, adorable things.
I'll just fuck off then, okay?
No, I will say I saw Luigi's tutu he didn't get to wear for their panel we couldn't do, unfortunately. No, so he loves wholesome and adorable, trust me.
Yeah, sorry to anybody listening to this if they were excited for our live crossover panel with the Dear PB podcast. But sadly, there were some extenuating circumstances we had to cancel that one.
I don't know if I was wholesome, but I was adorable.
You were adorable. I came in and it was full Link in a tutu.
Oh my God, I need pictures of this. Please tell me pictures exist.
At least one does.
Yeah. Yes.
But speaking of wholesome and adorable.
Yes. So sometimes people will bring their kids to experience Games Done Quick. Yeah. And it is the most wholesome, sweet thing. And there was a young kid who woke up in the middle of the night with his dad to watch the Overcooked run.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up and said, I really loved your Overcooked run, and I've never played. Would you maybe want to play in the practice room? And
that's the kind of thing you're like, yes, now we will.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. I was like, no, this yes, is a priority. I don't, I know I don't have a lot of time this week, but I, small child, absolutely. Yeah. And, and it was so funny because not only did we do, over the course of like a few days that we could meet up, all the horde levels for Hangry Horde.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, he was like, all right, I'm going to get the toppings for this, that, and the other. If you want to do plates, like he was already trying to learn the call outs. But at one point he said, I've got my computer set up over here. If maybe you want to come over and see what I'm doing. And I thought he was just playing something casual. And when I get there, he goes, oh, this is the Metroid Prime randomizer. And you would hit 3, 2, 1 here, and was fully commentating it for me. And I was sitting there like,
the future.
Who is this great. Kid?
The future of speedrunning.
He was already at like GDQ level of commentary. Yeah. I can only imagine what this kid is going to do once he hits 18.
Knowing who that kid's father was, like, I'm not surprised.
Well, and I even talked to them and was like, oh my God, your kid is so impressive. And he was like, this is all him. Like, yeah. I have nothing to do with this. So, yeah. Great.
I don't know what hoops need to be jumped through or negotiations or discussions, but it would be really cool to see, you know, that kid run a Metroid randomizer or something at a game so quick. I know that like 18 years old is like the thing, but man, that would be adorable.
Yeah.
It would be so
That'd
cute.
Be fun.
But yeah.
We are in the middle of the final day, an extremely hyped day.
There's Elden Ring happening behind us.
I want to watch every single one of these. So of it was very tough to pry me away from Elden Ring in the middle of the run.
I know. I'm sorry.
No, it's great. There's nothing more important than spending time with your friends when you can.
That's true.
Elden Ring. We just watched the Mario 64 randomizer.
How did that go? I missed that one.
I understood some of it.
Well, so it was nonstop too. So you're not getting evicted out of the level every time, which is good
for
flow.
Okay, is that what that meant?
Yeah, it's good for like keeping the flow going, but also it means like you don't have moments to think about what just happens.
It's one of those runs that you pick it up as you watch it. And I got what was going on, and it went well. Mm-hmm. And
I love Chrism and Bird and the folks like that were there commentating and talking and stuff. So
Elden Ring. Then we got Mario Maker 2. And then we got Breath of the Wild blindfolded, hopefully.
And Baron of Shell, I think.
Baron of Shell. Yeah. And then at 4 a.m., we got Super Metroid co-op race, something like that.
I got to say, I've never been the biggest, like, so I played Super Metroid for the first time a few years ago, and I was like, I get the hype. Like, the game still holds up.
Yeah.
It's really great. I totally understand it. But I've never been the, like, I got to see Super Metroid at GDQ, like, person, right? It's never been my, like, big go-to
game. That's like... The closer, that's Hendrix. I know,
it's the game. It's, yeah. But it's just never been, like, my big thing. I saw this run that they're going to do, the co-op run for Metroid, at a speedrun session that Grand Pooh Bear was doing in Boston. And I was like, oh, shit, this is, like, real interesting. Like, it was, like, actually really cool.
So is it two people sharing one world?
So, yeah, it's basically two people playing their own games, but it is I believe it's the same world. And as soon as you pick up like a power or something, your partner gets it as well.
Okay.
So if you go find the Vario suit, they can now immediately start doing stuff.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah. Someone can be working on one thing while the other person's working.
Yeah. And together they got to get 100%. And it was really, really fun to see them split up and how they were going to tackle various objectives.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, I really quick, I'm going to backtrack and say, even if you don't play Mario Maker, last year when I was told, oh, yeah, I'm going to go watch the Mario Maker run, that doesn't really seem like my thing, but okay. And basically my friend Liz went, no, you don't understand.
You have to.
So it is a relay race where all these levels are custom made specifically for the event. The runners have never seen them. And
that's so exciting that they've never seen them.
Yeah. And they're in teams of three. So the idea is they have three chairs and essentially are playing musical chairs. And every time one of them dies, they then switch who has the controller in their hands. And they're constantly learning from the other runners on their team all the while trying to beat the opposite team. It's wild.
It's really fun. Also, as somebody who doesn't really care about Mario Maker that much, and even all that much about a lot of the like 2D Mario stuff, that one was cool. And also Baron of Shell by Grand Pooh Bear. I saw that one in his speedrun sessions too. Another really good ROM hack.
What's great about Mario is it's a universal language of video games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everybody knows how Mario jumps and controls to an extent.
Yeah.
And so that's, I think, what makes it so watchable for everybody.
Yeah.
Because you have this RPG or you have this obscure, like, indie platformer, and they're all great. But as far as games, that, like, the Venn diagram of games people know, Mario is in the middle, just yahooing happily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, enough to get a movie, so...
The second most profitable animated film of all time at this point.
Wow.
Knocked out Frozen.
Wow. Yeah. Dang.
What's above it? Like Shrek or something?
I should know. I don't read the entire article, just the headline. Yep.
Fair.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But yeah, it's been great. This entire convention, are we all making it till what time tonight?
You'll be there for the finale. I have to, because I got to do the event recap.
I mean, I'm going to take a nap.
Right before Super Metroid, I got to do my final segment on air. So you're catching like me before that, and I'm gonna probably try to take a nap and get some sleep in before that. But I guess I'll probably be up for the finale afterwards. I'm just glad. Normally, I leave on Sunday, and this is like the first year, maybe not first, but this is one of the few years where I'm leaving on Monday instead, and like late on Monday. I'm like, fuck yeah! I'm so glad that happened for this event, because now I could just sleep all day on Sunday, not have to worry about checking out of my hotel room.
If you have a chance to go to Dangerous Man Brewing, you would love it.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah. I never made it to the pinball bar named Lit, and I gotta go there too.
That's your biggest regret so far, I think.
It really is. Yeah. I didn't get to on my day off because just some other stuff came up, and I'm like really.
Sounds good.
Really excited to try to go there. And I'm seeing Spider-Verse on Monday, so that'll be really fun.
Oh,
excited
my God, for that. Yes.
Yeah.
I know Yuri Lowenthal was at the premiere, so I imagine Marvel Spider-Man is in the film.
So I heard, from my friend Pestilist, who also runs Marvel Spider-Man, he said, he was like, I'm not going to tell you anything about the movie, but there's a whole bunch of Spider-Man PS4 references in it.
Yeah.
He's like, there's definitely stuff in there. Cause the original one had like the suit.
Yeah.
The advanced suit from Spider-Man PS4. And it was like, that was already so exciting. And then it was in Far From Home as well in the MCU. It was like a tiny little Easter egg. And so I'm excited to see some stuff in this one.
That's incredible.
How are we doing on time for you, Ruby?
So basically, they said that I should get there 15 to 30 minutes early. It's still saying that Super Mario Maker 2 is starting at 10:22, but with how this is going, like...
Yeah, you might have to leave soon. We're literally doing this right before Ruby needs to go do a hosting shift.
So basically, my plan is I'm hosting for Super Mario Maker 2 and for the Blindfolded Breath of the Wild run, which is hype, and I'm so excited about that.
It's gonna be incredible.
Yeah, those are going to be amazing runs. Definitely check the VODs. So my plan is, honestly, last year, it was so late at night that I wasn't going to be there for the finale. And then I ended up saying goodbye to so many people that by the time I finished, it was like, well, it's time. I may as well hang out. And it was such a transcendent experience being in the room for when we hit the 3 million and seeing the finale video. And now I feel like I have to be there for that experience of being in the room where it happens. So probably after I finish my hosting shift, I'm going to take a nap for a few hours and then I'm going to come back for finale.
Well, we're about $420,000 off of like the target for the Breath of the Wild. So you got some work cut out for you during but I believe in you.
I'm going to do my best. Yeah. It's going to be a really cool run. So I really hope we can make it happen.
When by the time people are hearing this, they'll have known.
The final result
will have been written.
Yeah, we don't know. It's the snowball tumbling down the hill. It starts small, but it starts picking up speed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know you're going to crush it.
We call it. So I'm just going to throw this out there, a little peek behind the curtain, which we've been able to do a lot more this year too, which I've been really happy about. Mm-hmm. We refer to it as the hockey stick. Because if you look at a graph of the donations from throughout the week, there's always, you know, little like spikes and valleys and whatnot. But when you get to that final day, it just turns up and it just looks like a hockey stick. That's kind of what we refer to it as. It's always really fun to watch it happen.
Love the hockey stick.
Yeah, but we've already raised $1,000 since I just talked about the total a second
ago. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think someone did an interview with one of the Doctors Without Borders. And they were talking about their experience working in Ukraine.
Yeah, that was
ADEF?
Foo interviewed Bernard Wiseman.
I ran into him in the elevator, and I was like, I saw your interview. You're awesome. It was so nice to learn about what you do. Mm-hmm. And he said he was just blown away by this convention. He's like, it's wild. Yeah. What's happening here?
I'm real sad. So I interviewed somebody from MSF as well. And I'm really sad that when they were here, because they were only here for a limited amount of time, like we can't take up a ton of their time. Mm. It was the remote block. So it was like there were still some attendees and, you know, we still had everything going on with the production and whatnot. But like they didn't get to feel that same energy of the people being there on stage doing stuff.
Yeah.
It was just a day of like a lot of remote runs. And I'm sad they didn't get that same energy, but I'm glad Bernard was able to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We were cheering right there.
Yeah, it was great. I wanted to say it has been great hanging out with our friend Ethan. Fan of the show.
Yeah, patron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And bummed Judge Tempest couldn't make it.
Yes.
Another patron, but having a baby, so that's important.
Absolutely.
The future of the speedrunning generation.
Yeah. Also called out, which run was it? Judge Tempest called out some run recently in our Discord. And I'm going to literally look it up right now because they were like, this run was super sick, and everybody should watch
Ori?
It. Oh, it was the Ori run. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ori in the Blind Forest, which I didn't get to catch because it was at something in the morning. Mm. And
when Primorix, you wake up to Covert Muffins laughing because the TV's on, you know you're in a good spot.
Primorix is such a good runner. Did a Bastion run earlier as well after the tutorial. And
That was fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Primorix is like really, really good at every game that he touches. So the Ori and the Blind Forest run, I'm sure was great.
Heck yeah. Basically, long story short, take this as a note of there are so many incredible runs that to watch this marathon. Check out the VODs. There are so many that we didn't even mention this episode, but like
so many.
Shout out to all the runners who are participating in this event and making all these donations to charity happen. Mm-hmm. You all are the heart and soul of this.
You did it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just happy to not be like completely worn out on final day here for the first time ever because I actually was able to.
You had a nice day off.
I was able to elevate one of my team members to a higher position to actually give me some help. And it's been so nice. It's been so amazing because normally by the end of the week, I am like done. I'm real dead. And I hear it in my voice a little bit. That's about it. But I'm feeling good. It's been like, it's nice. I'm like, I can actually probably stay up for the finale and not hate myself.
Heck yeah.
I'm tired.
Covert Muffins, Dark Forces Runner was great. Everyone's wonderful. Sad I couldn't see Kizaron. Sad I couldn't see Spike Vegeta. Just the way these things work. There's so many things happening.
People are busy.
The wonderful Ruby Heart needs to get down there and start talking about Mario Maker.
Yeah. All right. You all keep recording the episode, but you're great. And I'll see you later. Bye.
We'll see you down there in a sec.
See you later, Ruby.
Bye. And anything else that we need to talk about, I guess? Hey, Tyler, thanks, you want to come on real quick?
Thanks to our executive patrons. Oh, no, we still didn't get a picture of all of us talking.
We'll get one. That's going to happen.
We'll get one somehow.
Okay, we're not going to go too much longer, but joining us real quick is my co-host from Hair of the Dogcast. We have Tyler.
Hey, welcome guys.
To The Need.
Welcome. How's it going?
It's pretty good. I got a need for speed.
Running to the need cave.
Nice.
So, Tyler, this is your first Games Done Quick and also probably many of the very first speed runs you've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have a ton of time, but can you just tell us about your experience with it?
I've been super impressed with the amount of money that they've been able to raise for Doctors Without Borders. I'm looking at it right behind Brad's head here on the TV. 1.5 million is incredible. So
it's a staggering amount of money.
Yeah.
I've been to
and
charity.
We're not done.
Yeah. And Brad's been saying like towards the end, the ball really gets rolling.
We often raise like as much as the entire week in our last day. So
it's crazy incredible. How that works.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost been 100K just in the last 40 minutes when we were downstairs. But
remember, everyone, you have your Prime Gaming sub.
I've enjoyed my time here so far. I've learned a lot about speedrunning, and the commentary is something that I missed. I didn't get it with the videos I looked up because I just see somebody play a game real fast, but seeing them in person do it and then explain what's going on kind of pulled back the curtain a little bit for me.
Yeah.
And these guys know games way better than I do. Some of these games I can't beat on my best day with two hands, and they're doing a blindfolded hands tied behind their backs.
Right. What's been the most surprising thing for you, like just coming here for the first time?
The community, the size of it. I did not realize that the speedrunning community was as large as it is. You guys have quite a few people here, and I imagine many more watching online.
Yeah.
And wait, this has been like even a lower viewership one because of just the time shift, the fact that we were like a month early. So, yeah. But it's still like 50,000 people or something.
Yeah, it's incredible. And you guys got my Halloween pinball machine here. So that's, that's probably been my favorite thing.
See, this is what I'm always telling attendees. I'm like, come on, you got to show up. And then you just got to go play pinball because that's the best thing to do here.
Yeah. First time I met you, because I was going to, 2019, I was going to meet up with you because we were going to record an interview. And you're like, I'm playing Black Knight. Come to the arcade.
I wish they had Black Knight down there.
I know. I'm sad. We haven't been able to have it the last few times. Mm. So we got to make it happen.
Halloween's great, though.
I haven't played it yet. I got to play it. Man. I'll play it before they tear the arcade down, hopefully.
It's trying to kill you.
Yeah. It's addicting.
Like, the ball, like, you don't know where it's going to come out sometimes. Yeah. Like, eventually you get
used to it.
You figure out where it's going to.
It's a sneaky, fun game.
But at first, it's like, yeah.
And for some reason, it just starts blaring Don't Fear the Reaper sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, it's got Blue Oyster.
It's a very quiet machine. So, like, sometimes it'll, like...
The multi-ball.
It'll relaunch your ball without you knowing it, and then it just comes out of nowhere down the chute. It's
just like sneaky. Michael.
It's funny.
Michael.
Hit the flippers, Michael.
The spinners are how you fight them away.
Nice.
So, Hobbs, what is your plan for the next hour or so? Or do you have to be places?
I got to be down and on camera before the Super Metroid run where we're going to recap the whole event. Yeah, maybe some pinball.
Super Metroid, though, that's still like 5 hours away.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So I might go try to take a nap for a bit. Mm-hmm. I have a few staff members that, like, believe it or not, we have so many staff members at this point for the event that, like, there are people I have not seen yet all week.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I finally got to hang out with a couple people that I hadn't seen earlier at a brewery, and that was fun. So I might try to meet up with a few people. I might try to go sleep for a few hours. I don't know.
He just put the blindfold on.
Doing the blindfolded Malekith. And on that note, should we just...
We got to stop so we can go watch.
Mm-hmm. me back here.
Thanks to everybody who's listening.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tyler.
Yes. We'll have you on another time so we can dazzle you with speedrunning again.
And of course, as we always say at the end of every episode, shout outs to Room 104.
Shout outs to Room 104.
I'm very tired.
I don't know when I got back.
104 almost broke me this morning.
That's just the 104 experience.
Well, I shouldn't say almost. It definitely did. I was a broken boy.
No one opened the Malort, though. So good on you.
That would have been my cue to leave.
Yet.
I just see Tyler's get up. Nope. And just walk out.
Who brought Malort?
Uber hot Malort. The Uber worst shot Malort. You could ever take is Uber hot Malort.
There's too many Chicagoans at this event who are like, I love Malort. I got to bring it. And the rest of us are I'm sad.
Fine. I guess if you're from Chicago, but like you drink it yourself.
Exactly. Don't impose it on the
rest
of us. I can
do some Fernet, but Malort just makes me want to. That's like
no. It's this thing we do. It's like, yeah, that's fine. You do that.
You guys need to do better things.
I'm officially not paying attention to anything anymore.
All right. We got to get out of here. So thanks, everybody, for listening to Need for Speed Run. I would shout out all of our executive producers, but unfortunately, the Patreon app does not show me the list of patrons.
The phone app?
Yeah, on the mobile app, so I can't pull it up. Brad is just fully watching a boss fight now. So
now Brad
is
ridiculous.
We're just going to do this outro.
I'm commentating Brad watching it.
Yeah. I don't know what we do to stop the recording.
Second phase.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Brad's got this. We'll catch you when we catch you.